Could Matt Shoemaker win you a fantasy championship? We will discuss. What about Drew Smyly? Some other standout pitchers from yesterday, and what's going on with Johnny Cueto, and what's going on with Chris Towers and Scott White?
Adam.
A little sleep deprived, but I think we're good otherwise.
Yeah, everybody's a little sleep deprived right about now. Scott, all you said was my name. What else is what else is happening?
I'm glad you noticed that. Not much. You know, just kind of going through the baseball football overlap this time of year, which maybe why Chris is sleep deprived. I don't know.
Well, I've got basketball too.
Oh yeah, you know, triple overlap.
Oh man, fantasy basketball. Wow.
I never sleep.
No, you really don't, actually. And, you know, he drinks a lot of caffeine to compensate. Anyway, it's Wednesday afternoon on September 2nd. And we'll go through everything that you saw or you didn't see yesterday around baseball. Stat of the day, Johnny Cueto has given up 3 earned runs or more in 3 straight starts for the first time in about 3 years.
Well, womp, womp, womp.
Heard that stat on the Royals broadcast yesterday. And they're kind of talking about, well, what are you seeing from Johnny Cueto? And one of the announcers said, he's been up in the zone a lot. And then they showed a montage of all the hits he had given up to that point in the game. And he'd already given up all 4 of the runs he would give up in 6 innings. But he gave them up pretty early. They showed a montage, and he was up in the zone, but he wasn't missing. Like, that's where Salvador Perez, he was hitting the glove on most of these pitches. And yet they were still just kind of ripping him. So it wasn't like he was trying to go low and away and he was missing up in the zone. He was just ineffective. So I didn't really buy that explanation. Anyway, what do you guys think about Johnny Cueto?
I mean, it's possible that there's just a kind of an issue with his new team trying to get something different out of him than what was working. That's certainly possible, and it could be worth looking into.
You know, Mike Petriello, I think I'm pronouncing that name right, MLB.com analyst for them. He kind of went through, he did a thorough write-up of Cueto and what's been going on for him recently. And he actually came away with a different conclusion that, you know, I don't know about on those pitches where he gave up hits yesterday, but he is, you know, Salvador Perez sets up in one spot and Cueto's pitch doesn't go to that spot. That's mm-hmm. been happening a lot lately, which doesn't seem like a long-term concern. The velocity's fine. He looked at the RPMs on his four-seamer. They're the same. And I think the only concern I'd have is if maybe the elbow issues he was dealing with earlier in the season are contributing to this mislocation recently. But
His arm slot was actually kind of all, his release point was kind of all over the place yesterday, which is weird. Just looking at the Brooks baseball, just trying to find some kind of explanation. He was up in the zone. He, you know, mostly hit the middle of the strike zone when he was in it, which isn't obviously not good.
But at the same time, I feel like all of this is trying to make a little too much of a 3-start stretch.
Very, very possible.
Yeah.
He has the White Sox at home this weekend. Would you start Cueto in a daily league White Sox at home?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I'll be playing against him in a championship round. It's currently going on. And I will be rooting for the White Sox. I am going to buy a White Sox fathead and a pennant. And I'm going to root so hard against Johnny Cueto. And yeah, you think I was so happy yesterday, Cueto had a terrible start. Well, Joe Ross was terrible for me, so that kind of stunk.
Sorry, Adam.
Yeah, well, I don't know what's going on with Joe Ross. More on him in a little bit. Tuesday's standouts. I had 4 pitchers that pitched very well, and I want to know what you think about them. They are owned in anywhere from 34 to 72% of leagues. Patrick Corbin definitely sat him this week, but he pitched well at Colorado. Gave up 2 solo homers. Matt Shoemaker, wow. Other than that one terrible start before he got demoted, he's been really good for a little while here. Drew Smyly, 10 strikeouts at Baltimore, threw 100 pitches in 7 scoreless innings, gave up 4 hits. Baltimore has been pretty much as cold as it gets, but this was great. And Rick Porcello struck out 13 Yankees, gave up 1 earned run in 8 innings. Corbin, Shoemaker, Smiley, Porcello. Have you changed your mind about any of these guys recently?
Maybe I'm starting to a little with Porcello because, you know, as awful as he was for most of this year.
Did Chris just sneeze? What's wrong with Chris? I'm sorry to interrupt you.
God bless me.
He took off the headset, though.
I tried to get it away.
No, you did fine. I mean, it wasn't disruptive. I just worry about you, Chris.
I'm fine. My body's a temple.
Temple sneeze. All right, go ahead. Go ahead, Scott. Sorry. Porcello, coming around a little, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hope. Yesterday, obviously, he had a dominant start, 13 strikeouts in 8 innings, which is not, you know, even when he's pitching well, he's not normally 13 strikeouts good, but they were just raving about the movement he got on his pitches, and Porcello was saying it's been what's lacking for him all season. And really, since returning, well, I guess it's only 2 starts, but he was on a pretty nice run even before he went on the DL. His last 6 starts, he has a 2.83 ERA with a strikeout per. So I'm not that interested in picking him up yet because he has a lot of winning me back to do, but there may be something to this for him. I think the must-add players after yesterday are Corbin, who we'd already been saying that about, but he survives that start in Colorado. I'm not sure what's going to hold him back. And Smiley, who, coming back from the shoulder injury, the control was good, the velocity was good, so it seemed like it was only a matter of time before he went out and did something like this, 19 swings and misses, 10 strikeouts. It's only one start, but it was a good enough start for me to go ahead and take action in a mixed league, knowing this guy could be another frontline pitcher for you down the stretch.
But not Shoemaker?
I mean, Shoemaker is usable. You said it's a brief stretch he's been good. You really go back to May, and he has an ERA below 3, I think. But a lot of implosion potential because of his propensity to give up home runs. So I just don't have the same level of trust with him. Probably would depend on matchups and whether or not he's making 2 starts for me to look into him in a mixed league.
And he... Oh, you know what? Let me see if he is making 2 starts. I'll get back to you on that because I know a lot of the pitchers, if they're only playing in 6 games this week, they are 2-star pitchers next week, and Shoemaker might be one of them.
I mean, with Shoemaker, if you go back to June 26th and you take out, he had the 7 runs on August 10th and the 6 runs in a 1 1/3 innings on August 15th when he got sent down. If you take that out, he hasn't allowed more than 2 earned runs in any of his other 1-2. Almost, I think it's 10 starts now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so that's the implosion potential.
Yeah, and the strikeouts have been all over the place. He had a stretch at the start of that where he had 2-3-2-1, and then 10-7-10. So he's a very tough pitcher to figure out.
But Chris, would you also take Smiley over Shoemaker?
I think so. I think the upside's significantly higher.
So Smiley's got 2 starts next week, and he's at Detroit and home against Boston. And I don't know. I mean, I'm hesitant. I'd almost want to pick him up just to prevent someone else to do it. But I don't know that I'd trust him because his previous 3 starts were pretty bad. And we know how he did throw 100 pitches. That was really good. But we do know how Kevin Cash is hesitant to let his pitchers go deep into games. Baltimore has been awful. They have lost 12 out of 13. In all 12 of those losses, they scored 3 runs or less. In fact, kind of funny, the only pitcher that they've done well against, it seems, is Garrett Cole, who we'll talk more about later. Would you really trust Smiley in crunch time, whether it's playoffs or the end of a roto league, would you trust Smiley in a 2-start week?
I think because he's making 2 starts, yes.
Yeah, they could be tough starts, though.
I understand.
At Detroit and versus Boston could go south.
And he's a tough pitcher. So 2 starts, I think, to capitalize on what I was just saying, the fact that you could have another frontline pitcher down the stretch here, you don't want to squander that 2-start week. If that's what you're looking for, if you feel like you do need that extra arm to really give you, get you over the hump.
What about Shoemaker? He's also two starts. He's got the Dodgers and the Astros both at home. And we'll go over the two-star pitchers again on Friday, at least Chris will. Chris, I'm stealing your hosting thunder. I'm sorry. But you got a chance to go out there and kind of get ahead of the game here. Shoemaker, 49% owned, two starts, Dodgers and Astros at home.
I'd be more reluctant to do that because those are two teams that could hit some home runs. And
on the other hand,
in a points league,
the Dodgers have been bad.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
for a while.
But they have a lot of good left-handed power hitters. I still think it's
they're all bad right
risky.
Now.
Hey, Jock Peterson homered yesterday. Woo! Off Bumgarner, no less. But I mean, no, you're right, Chris. I'm not disagreeing.
When you set your lineup for daily fantasy, I keep looking at like. Man, the Dodgers are so cheap. I want to put all the Dodgers in my lineup, and then they all stink.
Yeah, yeah, they sure do. All right, well, I'm glad we got those standouts out of the way. Anybody else you want to talk about who stood out yesterday? We're going to talk about a bunch of hitters who are owned and who are available in a lot of leagues and are doing very well. Some that we've already spoken about this week, some that we haven't. Anyone that's really jumping out to you from Tuesday's games or just in general?
How about Franklin Gutierrez?
Yeah,
because
another homer.
Yeah, he homered, but the significant part about the home run is off. He started the game against a right-handed pitcher, and that's you know he's been starting a lot recently. But the Mariners have faced a crazy number of left-handed starters this year, and so you know as well as he was doing against them, you had to figure once the left-handers stopped, he would not really be able to make an impact in fantasy, but. The Austin Jackson trade appears to have opened up more possibilities there in the outfield, and as hot as he's been, the Mariners went ahead and went with him against the righty, and he capitalized. So maybe that'll lead to more playing time regardless of the opposing pitcher's handedness.
Is that going to be a good thing? I mean, obviously good to have good playing time, but is he a guy that can hit righties, Franklin Gutierrez?
Well, I mean, he hasn't been a great hitter in his career, but it's, I think especially in September, there's something to be said for riding the hot hand, and you don't get any hotter than he is right now. 11 home runs and 126 at bats.
Yeah.
I'd, certainly in a five outfielder league, you know, we have another week to see how much more playing time against right-handed pitchers. If he goes back to sitting, that will basically end that discussion, but if he keeps starting, I think I'd stick it out with them for as long as it lasts.
Senor Towers, you, anybody?
Two things. One that we didn't mention yesterday that we probably should have. Darren Ruff, when he plays against a lefty, he went 3-for-5 with a home run last night. He's crushing lefties. That was a platoon question that we got yesterday.
Good call.
And Michael Pineda gets the Orioles and Blue Jays next week. He went six strong innings, seven strikeouts last night against the Red Sox. Can you start him next week?
Well, the Indians are proving that the Blue Jays can't hit. So, you know, Scott, what do you think?
Who was that?
Pineda.
Michael Pineda. Against the Blue Jays and.
Well, the Orioles, I mean, honestly, the Orioles are not a, he struck out 15 of them, whatever it was earlier this year, and they don't scare me. They're just not hitting well.
Could change by the time he makes that second start.
But they're really not that great of a lineup. They've got three guys that scare you, and then it's not that great.
They're really scary guys, though.
They are, but
Chris Davis, Adam Jones, and who's the third one?
Who?
Machado.
Oh yeah, of course, Machado is the scariest of all. Yeah. How many lineups have a threesome that good?
I get that, but I don't know. I read an interesting scouting report on them that the Orioles beat up bad pitching and they struggle against good pitching. And ever since I read that, it has been so true.
In your head.
Except
but
Gerrit Cole.
They've gotten in your head.
Is Michael Pineda a good pitcher?
Yeah, I think he is. I would not worry about him in a two-start week.
You know what kind of stood out to me, though, from that start last night? Six innings, four hits, one run, no walks, seven strikeouts against a Red Sox team that's been very good. He only threw 92 pitches. What the hell? To leave him in there?
He's only thrown 100 once in his last six starts.
I mean, he's rolling.
And there was a DL stint in there. So that is a concern.
Yeah, that concerns me a little. It's just, if you're going to take him out under those circumstances, one run in six innings, no walks, seven strikeouts, and only 92 pitches, then he's going to have a very short leash.
Well, it's only his second start back from the DL. I mean, you don't want to run the guy into the ground.
I guess. All right, so we're starting him next week.
His arm.
Chris, you brought it up. Are you comfortable starting Pineda?
That Blue Jays start is really scary. I'm probably not.
Wow.
I'm probably trying to avoid him if I can with the Blue Jays on there.
Would you do that even in a points league?
No, in a points league I'll start.
Okay. Velocity of the day. I don't think we've ever had this of the day. Velocity of the day is Justin Verlander's fastball. 97 miles per hour in his last inning. 10 straight pitches, 95 miles per hour or faster. That is vintage Verlander, right? Getting
and
better as the game went on.
This was his worst start in weeks.
I know. 2 earned runs, 4 total runs, 6 and 2 thirds, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts. At the Royals, they don't strike out much. Not much to say here. You got to start Verlander. Steals of the day. I got 3 people. Elvis Andrews stole home for the 4th time in his career, and he did it against a right-handed pitcher. If you're a righty, how do you let a guy steal home on you? That's crazy. Kevin Quackenbush.
What a quack.
Right? Bush League. Okay. Brandon Phillips stole 2 bases. He's got 20 this year. He's a top 10 second baseman. And Ryan Braun, 19 steals. Very encouraging for both of those guys. Elvis Andrews, actually, 4 steals in his last 13 games and a 928 OPS. Any thoughts on Andrews, Phillips, or Braun?
Yeah, it's amazing that Phillips, you know, those numbers he's put up this year translates to him being that high among second basemen. And I know I haven't had him that high in my rankings all year, and I still don't really like him, even knowing that's how productive he's been. But, the stolen bases have been there this year after looking like they've gone away.
Very impressive. How about Andrews? He's been a disappointment all year. He's having a nice stretch. Is there anything to this or just a nice stretch? Okay.
Yeah. I was never that into him anyway, and this year has kind of confirmed everything I believed. He is run of the mill at a position where that's saying very little.
Back in the day, he was getting, 30, 40 steals? That made him pretty valuable,
he's had some seasons like that.
You were right. Yeah. I mean, you called him a bust, and that was a good call by you.
Yeah, he was fine in the past, but at this point, we're beyond that.
We're moving on, Elvis. We're moving on.
Thank you very much.
We're leaving the building this time,
yes.
Elvis.
Reverse jinx of the day, Brett Gardner homered. That was good to see. He also struck out twice and went 1-for-4, but he did homer.
Did you reverse the letters in his name on purpose?
Not on purpose, but I did write Brett Gradner for some reason. Is there anyone we want to reverse jinx today? Anyone on your teams that you really need to come around?
Yeah, my teams are all good. Every single one.
I'm having a hard time coming up with somebody.
I'll say Matt Wieters. Can I get a little something-something for Matt Wieters just for once?
No, that's not how a reverse jinx works, though.
No.
We have to say he's terrible.
Oh, Matt Wieters is so droppable. In 3 catcher leagues, I wouldn't want to own Matt Wieters. That's how bad he is.
Wow.
Also, one more standout, not in a good way. Justin Nicolino was really good last night. He has among pitchers with at least 40 innings pitched in a season since 2006, he has the 7th lowest K per 9. 3.07.
He reminds me of Cody Anderson, Nick Martinez.
Yeah. Not a lot of good names.
Yeah, well, you guys were calling it that it'll come back the other way. And it did. All right, September call-ups. Javier Baez played second base. He went 0-for-4 with a strikeout. Hector Oliveira played third base for the Braves. I think he went 0-for-4 with a strikeout. Tampa Bay catcher J.P. Arencibia homer, drove in 6 runs. The Rays called up Matt Moore. What is significant in terms of call-ups that we saw yesterday or the day before?
Actually, I have a whole list here.
He's got a whole list.
The 2 biggest ones are Oliveira and Baez, I think they're have the best shot at playing time and the most upside. Well, I guess I shouldn't say that because Joey Gallo was a call-up, but I don't know how much playing time he's going to get, especially since the Rangers are very much in the playoff race in the AL. But a couple more interesting names. Eric Johnson, remember him for the White Sox?
Yeah, yeah.
He was the fifth starter to begin last year after a crazy minor league season, but it just imploded. But he's had a nice bounce-back season in the minors this year. Was actually named the International League Pitcher of the Year. And there's a chance he could get a couple spot starts down the stretch. Dalton Pompey, remember him?
I sure do.
He figured things out after getting sent to the minors. It was really rushed last year. I mean, spent time at four different levels. So, fortunately, I'm not able to pull up his minor league numbers because it seems like every single baseball stat site is down right now.
Well, is Pompey gonna Pompey?
Well,
killing it today with the puns, by the way, just killing it.
I think there's the opportunity for him too. I mean,
there's certainly some eruption potential.
But that's the thing about all September call-ups. I mean, most of these guys, even the big name guys, it's not like there's a spot available for them. They're just on the major league roster because...
because why not?
Yeah, exactly.
There's no reason for them not to be.
Right. So they'll get spot starts. They'll pinch hit.
Is there... you mentioned him. Is there any concern about Joey Gallo after a somewhat underwhelming major league stint and then a really bad... Triple-A run.
Yeah, all he did was hit home runs when he got sent back down.
And
right?
That's the concern. That the concern was with his huge strikeout rate, he might turn into Rob Deere. And that's what he looked at, 195. Slugged 450.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm willing to... I mean, considering how touted he is, 21 years old, I'm not sure I'm really willing to be concerned about anything he does statistically yet.
Yeah.
But that is the concern. You're right, long term.
I think it at least can make you might maybe pump the brakes on him going into next season.
Yeah, assuming they clear a spot for him.
We're
it's
not
like
draft
he's going
him.
To be a top 12 third
We're
baseman.
We're not
going to
draft him where we drafted Chris Bryant this
no.
year.
So what about Eric Johnson, though? Is he in the White Sox rotation?
No, there's... exactly what I think among the call-ups, he has a better chance of getting some playing time, but no, he's not replacing John Danks or anything. I assume there will be times they just work him in as a sixth guy because that's the way September goes. But, no
Zach
guarantees.
Zach Davies is in the Brewers rotation. Might be worth
yes, he is.
Could be worth a look there.
He was in the Futures game. I don't really get the hype with him, mm-hmm. but, he's a prospect on some level. Oh, Richie Schaefer's back. That's a good one, because I actually could see him just outright overtaking James Loney. Not saying it will happen, but there's no reason for them to stick with Loney. So, and really, Schaefer looked pretty good when we saw him in August.
Mm-hmm.
Blue Jays called up Miguel Castro. Sounds like he's just going to pitch out of the bullpen. Yeah, mostly stuff like that.
Next category. These guys were at it again. Tell me who you're digging right now. We talked Franklin Gutierrez, so.
Oh, sorry. Can I go one more?
Oh, yeah.
One more we didn't mention. Brandon Drury. Remember him?
Actually, no.
He made a strong push to win the starting second base job for the Diamondbacks this spring. Didn't have the best minor league season, but I don't know. I wonder if maybe there was some letdown of not making the roster contributing to that because his stock was on the rise heading into this year. And he started at third base yesterday. I could see him just taking over at second base because I don't know that Chris Owings is anything special. Aaron Hill's not a long-term answer. So that's another guy to keep an eye on.
And I'll just finish it off by saying Brandon Drury, more like Brandon Drury. Okay, these guys were at it again. What's that?
I was going to do that one.
Okay.
But now that you said it, I can't repeat it.
Nope, beat you to it. That's host chair. Justin Bour, Three homers in his last four games, and the game he didn't homer, he had a three-hit game. Brandon Moss, six-game hitting streak with three home runs. Mark Trumbo, 62% owned, he homered again after a two-home run game on Monday. Eduardo Escobar, 3-for-4 with two doubles, two runs scored. Number three shortstop in points, number four in Roto in the last 28 days. Eugenio Suarez homered. He's the number five shortstop in the last 28 days. And Ryan Goins is 14 for his last 32. He hit a walk-off blast yesterday. I said a lot of names. Was that?
Really interesting Fangraphs article about Ryan Goins that Al tweeted out.
Yeah, I
today.
Saw the tweet. I wish I did not have time to read the article. What did it
but
say?
But I don't think that makes him fantasy relevant. It's just he's walking a lot, just like a ton.
Mm-hmm.
He's like fifth in the majors in walk rate, but I don't think it changes his fantasy appeal much, which is limited. Eugenio Suarez remains under-owned.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. He's what? He's 29% owned.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me. I guess I could understand not wanting him in a points league because the strikeout-to-walk ratio is so bad, but...
But he's been a top 10 shortstop in both formats.
Yeah.
For a good chunk of the season. I think he got called up in like late June.
There's no reason he should be unowned in Roto. I think Mark Trumbo's kind of under-owned too at 62%. You know, there's not really... His numbers this year, and I know he missed some time, but they're basically in line with some of the best years in his career, and obviously it's taken this recent hot streak to get him back to that point, but if you need power, that's what he does. They'll give it to you.
And he's also the kind of player, I think, that could get really hot.
Yeah.
Well, he kind of already is.
He might be in the mists of... Yeah. Of it, you know?
Last 45 games for Trumbo, 303, nine home runs.
That, so. 303, that's kind of shocking.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good stretch for him. How about Justin Bour, Brandon Moss?
Well, Brandon Moss is kind of like Trumbo, except maybe in the very beginning stages of the hot streak. So, he's owned in 12% fewer leagues.
Yeah.
I'd rather have Trumbo because he has been doing it for longer, but if he's not available and you need power, Moss is another possibility.
All right, some news for you. I heard this guy's name pronounced Lavello, Boston manager, Terry Lavello. It's spelled like Lavulo or Lavello.
All right.
But Boston's manager says he hopes to have Hanley Ramirez back at some point this season. So he could be out a while, and he will not play outfield when he returns, apparently.
Which is good news for Rusne Castillo and Jackie Bradley.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Corey Dickerson and George Springer are getting close to returning. Logan Forsyth left last night's game with groin tightness. Very underrated. Nice year for him. And I hope Forsyth gets back soon. Alex Gordon's back. He's 82% owned. Before going on the DL, Gordon was the number 35 outfielder in points, number 43 in Roto. What do you expect from Alex Gordon rest of season?
I expect him to be must start. They've talked about maybe... giving him some days off here, fresh off the DL, not playing him literally every day, but I have a feeling that's going to, he's going to play enough that it won't really matter. And actually, I mean, he wasn't having as good a season as he's capable of having when
but
he went
he
on the DL.
He was really heating up right before he went on the DL. Eight July games, he was hitting .385. He was starting to figure things out.
Even the kind of year he was having, he was about the same. I mean, his head-to-head points per game this year is the same as Cole Calhoun's. So how do you feel about Cole Calhoun in a points league? Gordon's going to be that, if not better.
Steven Strasburg feels okay. He could start Friday. Carlos Martinez is expected to start this weekend. Miguel Sano is playing through a mild hamstring strain. It's actually kind of interesting. They seem a little concerned about it. He did homer last night. He had a great night. But Paul Molitor is somewhat concerned about the hamstring. Not much you can do. Let's just hope. And Sano himself said he's in pain.
Huh.
But I guess he's just that good.
What I'm worried about is this. There's going to be a fall at some point. It just depends on how far the fall is. And I worry that this could trigger it.
Zach Greinke tweaked his ankle. I'm worried about you, Chris, because I just can't believe that you said... that Zach Greinke is not the NL Cy Young.
Look, man.
I
No, you don't.
I think I'd place my vote.
No.
I'd give it to Kershaw.
No, come on.
I'm sorry.
How? Maybe any other year, but this is Greinke's year. He's been better. He's got like a 150 ERA. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I still feel like Kershaw's been the better pitcher overall. And Greinke beats him in some of the more traditional categories, so he probably is going to win it. And I don't think it would be, you know, this incredible slight if Greinke won it. But I do think Kershaw's been the better pitcher this year.
Oh, you're just saying that because of the strikeouts. Not
just the strikeouts. He leads all of baseball in FIP.
Yeah, but he had that stretch at the beginning of the year where he wasn't pitching like a Cy Young Award winner.
Okay, and Greinke, well, now he has a 2.24 ERA.
But Greinke hasn't had that stretch, and 2.24 is nothing compared to what Greinke's got.
Yeah, that's I hear you.
It's not disparaging Clayton Kershaw by any stretch. He is the best pitcher in baseball, but Greinke's had a better year.
Yeah, I mean, the argument would be that FIP is representative of what a pitcher is likely to do moving forward, whereas ERA is a better indicator of what they have done.
Well, it is what they have done. But there are more, like, the underlying numbers for Kershaw are better than Greinke. And while I do think ERA does matter, I don't think win-loss record really matters, but I do think ERA does matter to some degree. There is a lot of external factors contributing to that a pitcher has no control over. And so I don't really think that number alone elevates Greinke past Kershaw.
But it's like 70 points. You're talking about ERA?
Yeah. Like I said, I mean, Greinke's probably going to win it. I'm not going to be angry if he wins it, but if I had a vote, I'd give it to Kershaw.
Hmm. If you had to look Zach Greinke in the eye, you couldn't do it. You'd cower in fear because you know it just... You know it'd be an injustice.
Probably.
just one bullpen note, actually. Brad Ziegler looked like he got the day off. He threw 52 pitches and two bad outings Sunday and Monday. And Hudson got a save in the first game, and Colemanter got a save in the second game. But still think it's Ziegler, right, in Arizona?
Yeah, he'd thrown like 52 pitches the last 2 days.
Yeah.
I do think I saw an interesting note. I think Daniel Hudson hit 100 in this outing.
Wow. Two Tommy John surgeries.
Yeah. First player, according to what I read, first player ever to hit 100 on the radar gun after two Tommy John surgeries.
Oh, interesting. Kind of a ridiculous stat, because how many guys have had two Tommy Johns and how many guys throw 100? Anyway. But
I didn't know Daniel Hudson did.
Yeah, that's
even
surprising.
Before it, to be honest.
Actually, I saw a funny blog post. I don't know if I brought this up a few weeks ago, but Aroldis Chapman has like the top 50 fastest pitches in baseball.
No, it's like the top 150.
Is it really that many?
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
But if you remove him, at least at the time that I read the blog a few weeks ago, Bruce Rondon is pretty much the hardest thrower other than Chapman.
Yeah.
And he got a save last night. So good for him.
Yeah, he definitely has closer stuff.
Mark Teixeira is out at least 2 weeks with a bone bruise in his leg. Greg Bird is going to be starting, it looks like. .237 batting average.
Two more weeks, right?
Yeah, two more weeks.
It's already been about that long.
Two more weeks for Tex.
Yeah, he was in a walking boot and on crutches yesterday.
You know, it's like most guys can foul a ball off their leg and be fine. But not Mark Teixeira.
I mean, this was the elephant in the room.
Yeah. It's Dodgers...
a bone bruise, though, right? It's not just a bruise. It's a... Let's not understate.
Oh, nobody's calling Mark Teixeira a wuss.
That's what Chris said.
That's kind
of
there's some implication there.
No, he's just injury prone. Yeah, I mean that's
he just gets hurt.
He does.
Ellsbury is another guy. Ellsbury cannot collide with the outfield wall without being like day to day with a shoulder injury. It's unbelievable with him.
Those outfield walls are hard, man.
But he's so fragile. Some guys I think are just like that.
What are you saying, Adam?
It's a conservation of mass and energy.
I'm actually saying that
outright accusation.
You have to expect Ellsbury to go on the DL if you draft him.
Yeah,
you have to. The Dodgers gave Jake Arrieta rubber and dirt. They gave him the pitching rubber.
It's a crappy gift.
The pitching rubber.
Showed up to Christmas and gave me rubber and dirt.
Yeah, I know.
Stopped by the hardware store.
This is from his no hitter. It was a nice move by the Dodgers, but the pitching rubber weighed 60 pounds. Would you believe that?
I can believe it.
60
It's really
pounds.
Deep. I was at the museum has a Washington Nationals exhibit,
mm-hmm.
and they have the home plate from their first game. It goes down like 10 inches.
Yeah, it's big. Yeah.
It is not like a dinner plate, like I had assumed.
Oh, home plate you're talking about? I thought you meant...
Yeah, well, it's the same kind of thing.
Same concept, right? Yeah, the pitching rubbers, too. It's huge. Also, we didn't talk about this, but Jake Arrieta never should have thrown a no-hitter because that scoring decision was just terrible. Clearly a hit, and they ruled it an error. And Rob Manfred denied reinstatement for shoeless Joe Jackson, and the only reason I bring this up is I saw the headline on Twitter, and I just figured it was an Onion tweet. But no, this was a real story.
Say it ain't so, Rob.
FanDuel. I want to tell you about FanDuel. I also want to tell you about the worst FanDuel lineup of all time that I fielded last night. We scored 3.5 points. We finished 149th out of 150 in the CBS Pod tournament, but the 150th place team didn't really have a lineup. It was one of those like default terrible lineups that scored 0 points. So I had the worst team yesterday.
One of what default terrible? What are you talking
about?
Like, if you enter it's, I don't know how it happens, but if you enter the league and don't set your lineup, I think sometimes it might give you just, I don't know how to explain this.
Okay.
But I had the worst team, and it started with Garrett Cole. We had some studs on there. I thought Granderson would have a big day against Harang. We had Todd Frazier on there. We had Carlos Gomez. Nobody did well. It was an embarrassment. Mm. But I'm going to be back at it today. I've been doing pretty well lately, other than this little hiccup yesterday. The good thing is, you finish in last place, it's still just $2 in our tournament. And that's the thing with FanDuel. If you're worried about the price, it's really cheap. You can do it for just $1. Or if you want to play in higher stakes, you can play for more money, and you can win more money. You can play in big tournaments and win a lot of money in some cases. So if you feel like you have a good handle on fantasy baseball, if you feel like you know the splits and you can play the ballparks and the matchups well, you can really take advantage, and FanDuel is a lot of fun. And use our offer code CBSPOD. I think by now you know if you use that code CBSPOD, FanDuel matches your first deposit dollar for dollar up to $200. FanDuel's got football, they got baseball, they got basketball, they got college football, they got so much stuff. Just get on there and start exploring right now. 50-50s, tournaments, head-to-head. It's really awesome. And right now, especially, if you're out of it in a couple of leagues and you want to just supplement your fantasy baseball, one-day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com is the way to go. Just take my advice with a grain of salt. That's all I would say. Also, Chris Towers on Sportsline.com. He does a little bit of daily fantasy content every day on Sportsline.com.
Yeah.
So that you can check out. Two up, one down. Two up number one is David Wright. Since coming off the DL, he is 9-for-31. He has just 2 extra base hits. But he has not struck out in his last 5 games. I didn't know if Wright was in 3 up or 3 down, but I put him in up today.
The extra base hits are what makes me question whether he's truly up, because that was the concern that we had.
Mm-hmm.
Coming off the DL, coming back from the back injury, whether he'd be able to hit for power. He homered in his first game, and everything was roses and butterflies. But only a double in 6 games since.
And no extra base hits on his rehab assignment.
Yeah, it's a little concerning.
He's 82% owned. What do you think about that ownership percentage for Wright?
I don't really care to own him myself. I mean, I don't think it's a crazy idea, obviously, because he's been a good player for a long time, but third base is so deep that if I already had a satisfactory option there, I just don't think I'd want to invest the roster spot in him.
The Mets, I just can't get over how bad their opposing pitchers have been. And we've seen it in the results. But they have probably the easiest schedule in baseball down the stretch, and they're going to see a lot of bad pitchers. This is not necessarily a case for Wright. Maybe it's a case for the other guys keeping it up. But they're going to see the Phillies and the Marlins and the Braves. So they are going to see the Nationals, I think, 6 more times. But the Mets, they just, I don't know that they're that good, but they're going to face a lot of bad teams down the stretch. So that might really help their bats.
I think the Mets are that good.
Well, their pitching certainly is.
I may say so. Yeah, their pitching, I mean, their pitching is enough, frankly. But their lineup, they have, they have a lot of bona fide hitters. I think Cespedes obviously is. Granderson is. Conforto is certainly looking that way. And they don't even have Duda right now.
Yeah,
Daniel Murphy's been a competent hitter for a long time and is back to swinging like it.
I don't think,
between the injuries, he's been good.
I don't think they're any match for any of the central teams, though. I don't think they're quite there.
I think they are. In fact, you asking me to pick today?
No way, dude.
Mets in the World Series.
Mets versus Indians in the World Series.
I'll tell you why. I think I'm a little worried about the pitchers holding up if they make a deep postseason run, especially Syndergaard.
Throw Syndergaard in the rotation.
But what are they going to do with Harvey?
In the bullpen, you throw Steven Matz out there rotation.
There you go.
Syndergaard as your super Tim Lincecum from the last Giants World Series run.
Yeah.
Do it.
Cespedes is a legit hitter.
Holds a bat with two hands and everything.
Duda, I don't know. You know, he's been up and down. But the other guys, if they run into good pitching, I don't know that you're going to get much from those guys.
It's a very deep lineup now. I mean, Kelly Johnson against righties is fine. Juan Uribe against lefties is good.
Yeah, Darno's very good, too.
Yeah.
They got a lot of dudes and a Duda.
That's right.
They're not going to the World Series.
All right.
If baseball playoffs are silly, they could totally go to the World Series.
I think they deserve to go to the World Series.
I don't know, man. That NL Central... Those three teams, the fact that they've beaten up on each other all year and they still have such great records, those teams are just terrific. Yan Gomes was terrific yesterday. He homered twice. He tied the game, sent it to extra innings at Toronto to no avail. They lost. But three home runs in his last three games now for Yan Gomes. Thoughts? 57% owned.
He has just not been able to get that batting average out of the 220 range. And I'm not really sure why. I mean, the last couple years, you could say he overachieved in terms of BABIP, but this year he's certainly underachieving. And you know, just for a lot of the supporting numbers would suggest he should be better this year. He's not pulling the ball as much. His line drive rate would be top 10 in baseball if he had the at-bats to qualify. But for some reason, it's not improving, and I'm not going to bet on it improving this late in the year.
One down is Victor Martinez. Are we done with Victor Martinez? He hit 198 in August. He went 0 for 3 yesterday. Are we done with Victor?
I mean, I don't know how we could not be. Like, maybe he bounces back next season, but right now, it's pretty clear that he's not that guy.
I have been starting him still, I'll admit, in some leagues. I've been benching him in other leagues. It just depends who else I have. Have not been dropping him.
Are you worried at all about Gerrit Cole?
No.
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 Do you consider Marco Estrada a must-start?
No. Well, as a spark, maybe, but not as a starting pitcher. I think as a starting pitcher, he's a matchups to start week kind of guy.
He has given up two home runs in three of his last four starts, like two home runs per game in three of his last four starts. But he's lived to tell about it. Hasn't given up more than three runs in any of those starts, Marco Estrada. But all right, we'll play the matchups with him. Fringy starting pitchers, Joe Ross.
It's maybe the end of the line for Joe Ross. Haven't seen anything, but they were going to assess how he felt after every start and then decide to shut him down based on that.
And six walks, not a great argument.
I would guess that is an indication of him not feeling so well because he had 11 walks in his first 11 starts.
Well, Matt Williams said he couldn't grip the ball yesterday.
He only threw 39. He threw 29 strikes out of 68 pitches.
Was it raining?
I don't know, but it was a terrible start.
I only asked because remember Jimmy Nelson had that 8-walk start last time out and then rebounded yesterday with no walks, 7 great innings.
Yeah, well, the thing with Ross is...
It was misty in that 8-walk start, and he said he couldn't grip the ball well, so...
Ross had two pretty bad starts earlier in August, and then he rebounded with one run in 13 innings in his next two starts. He gets Atlanta this weekend. I think I would still start him in a daily league against Atlanta.
I probably would, too, if he makes that start. But it's... The 6 walks, especially, are alarming.
Jimmy Nelson, let me just, you know, we're going to do this show more start or sit, for the rest of the season. So Jimmy Nelson at Cincinnati this weekend, would you start him?
Yes.
Ruby De La Rosa, two starts next week. He's 61% owned. He's got the Giants and the Dodgers at home.
I'm not buying it. I was a Ruby De La Rosa guy earlier in the season.
Yeah.
And now that his ERA is pretty, he's got a 3.32 ERA since the All-Star break. I'm not buying it. I'm off the. I'm a Ruby De La Rosa contrarian.
You're pulling an Al Melchior here.
He's got 33 strikeouts in 57 innings since the All-Star break. That is bad.
How about Anthony DeSclafani? He's got two starts next week. They're against Pittsburgh and St. Louis. He's done well against those teams. 3.18 ERA and three starts against Pittsburgh. 1.38 and two starts against the Cardinals.
Just so blah. I mean,
yeah.
If you really want an extra two-star guy to points league, I could see it because the ratios aren't as big of a deal there. But in Roto, there's just no reason to even bother with him.
And in the bullpen, Glenn Perkins got a save, but he struggled doing so. He gave up a run on three hits. You say something, Chris Towers?
Glenn Perkins.
What about him?
You guys watch Parks and Rec?
No.
I did. I don't.
Rob Lowe's character, every time he sees Ann Perkins.
I gotcha.
That's what I say every time I see Glenn Perkins' name.
Oh.
I gotcha. So it's hard to say it, like, with the right.
Glenn Perkins! Yeah.
Well, if Glenn Perkins doesn't do well, Kevin Jepsen has been pitching very well. And Roberto Ozuna blew a save, gave up a home run to Yan Gomes, but man, he has been awesome for the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
So hooray for Roberto Ozuna. And we already crapped on Justin Nicolino, so I won't even bring him up for deep league owners. Injuries, news, and notes. Angelton Simmons day to day, Christian Yelich returned, and Derek Dietrich sat with Cole Gillespie in the outfield. Huh. Kelvin Herrera and Alex Rios have the chicken pox. They are out at least 2 weeks. I hope they get better.
I hope so too.
Scott Feldman for the Astros left last night's game with shoulder discomfort, and Vince Velasquez replaced him. They already are on a 6-man rotation. So what do you think happens now for the Astros?
Probably a 5-man rotation. I guess if they wanted to keep it 6-man, Velasquez would be the best candidate.
Josh Hamilton's off the DL. He's going to be a pinch hitter. Will Myers started a rehab assignment. Fox Sports reports that Miami general manager Dan Jennings will no longer be the manager after the season. He'll go back to the GM role, but actually Miami Herald says he might not go back to the GM role. He'll go back to the front office, but whatever. We don't care. Tim Lincecum may have hip surgery, and I would love for him to get healthy and be good again, because apparently this hip injury has hurt his velocity and his performance.
Mm.
And that would be a cool story. And since Alan, or since Scott and Chris haven't said anything, I guess they just hate Tim Lincecum and wish nothing but the worst for him.
I would love to see Tim Lincecum get up there and be good again, because the way things currently look, he's going to be one of just a few pitchers ever to win two Cy Youngs and not make the Hall of Fame. And that would be a...
One of how many pitchers?
I think it's like 7, which is actually
a pretty high. I'm surprised
it's
that high, yeah. How many pitchers total have won multiple Cy Youngs?
I don't know. But I know, like, I mean, you're probably going to see... Do you think Johan Santana and Roy Halladay make the Hall of Fame?
Halladay, yes.
I would guess Halladay, yeah. I'd have to take another look at Johan Santana's numbers. It was obviously a Hall of Fame worthy peak, but
right.
Did it last long enough?
My gut says no, but yeah, that's one that requires evaluation. David Freese returned to the Angels lineup. Now I'm going to read some emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com from Jake. How much do you believe in Drew Smyly? We sort of addressed that, so make it quick, fellas.
I guess maybe belief is not how I'm assessing him. It's upside and potential to meet that upside, and he showed that potential this last start. So he's not the safest bet, but he's good enough that I'm willing to gamble on him.
Now an email from James. Playoffs start next week. They last for 3 rounds. So which shortstop would you guys want for the next 3 weeks? He's looking for OBP and maybe some RBI and runs. Here's your list. OBP, remember. Didi Gregorius, Eduardo Escobar, Jed Lowry, Jed Jerko, Ketel Marte, and Eugenio Suarez.
OBP and some RBI and runs. I guess if OBP's that big of a priority, it comes down to Lowry and Ketel Marte. Marte wasn't really a high OBP guy in the minors, didn't walk much, but a high batting average and has walked a fair amount in the majors, so. And Lowry, I think, is that would be the best bet, but he's been horrible since returning from the DL, so I'm leaning Marte, I think.
I would go with that.
Over Eugenio Suarez.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Marte's not going to give you RBI that Suarez potentially would.
But he could
Lowry,
give you runs.
I mean, if Lowry was doing better, he'd be the trifecta, but he's not. So you kind of have to figure out what you need the most. Suarez is not going to give you OBP.
This is an email from Anton. 10 team head-to-head categories. Would you drop David Wright for Javier Baez?
Yeah.
If I need a shortstop. Because I don't really feel like Baez is going to play every day, but there's the chance.
From Tyler in Iowa, 10-team... Oh, hello, Edwin, Jose, and Troy. 10-team Roto League, would you drop Mark Teixeira for Steven Piscotty, Ryan Zimmerman, Jason Wirth, or Carlos Beltran?
I think I could drop him for any of them after that.
And pick one, Piscotty, Zimmerman, Wirth, or Beltran.
I'm going Zimmerman. He's been out of control since returning from the DL, like a 1,000 OPS.
That makes sense. I was going to say Piscotty, but Zimmerman makes sense too.
Here's Ron. He says he has the toughest question ever.
Ever. Okay.
Whoa.
Dear Archie, Peyton, and Eli, who's the oldest on this podcast, me or Scott?
Me.
I guess you're Archie.
I'm the baby.
You're Eli. Chris. 12-team, 12-category keeper league. I can only retain 3 players for next year. I have Correa, A.J. Pollock, Kyle Schwarber, and Corey Seager. Correa, A.J. Pollock, Kyle Schwarber, and Corey Seager. Who do I keep?
You let Corey Seager go.
Yeah, that was not the hardest question ever.
It wasn't, Ron. No.
You let the guy who's never done it go.
Yeah.
It's not like he has significantly more upside than any of those guys.
No.
Nikki in Greenville says, good morning, Kermit, Miss Piggy, and Denise.
Uh-oh.
Denise.
Uh-oh.
Who's Denise?
Who's Denise? Were you on Twitter yesterday?
No.
Denise is
Twitter was
new squeeze.
Twitter was flamed yesterday.
Really?
But Denise, it was pretty great.
She's also a pig, so clearly he has a type.
She kind of looks like if Iggy Azalea was a Muppet pig.
Oh.
That's the aesthetic she seems to be cultivating.
what a nice thing for Iggy Azalea. Should I drop? I only have 8 moves left. 1 week left before the playoffs start. I can only make 8 moves. Should I drop Carson Smith for Tom Wilhelmsen, or will Smith get the job back?
I think Wilhelmsen's locked it up. He's actually been really good since going to the role, and it's only been 5 appearances, but I don't see enough time for him to implode to lose it.
We have to end this fun. Chris, do you have any FanDuel tips?
I do have my tonight's a really weird night because I don't really like it depends how much you like Matt Harvey against Philadelphia. That's what it comes down to.
Why wouldn't Steve, you?
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Because he hasn't been good lately.
Harvey hasn't?
Oh, no, he
has. Why would you go away from...
That's right.
Why
no, he has been.
You're right. I had
Kershaw.
It backwards.
You start Kershaw every
time Harvey
he pitches.
Yeah, it's Harvey or... But
he's 13
He's 13-3. That's the thing.
Yeah,
that's
every
why...
Every start, he's 13-3.
How much do you like Kershaw versus Harvey?
I
like Kershaw.
It's really hard to put a lineup together with Kershaw tonight.
Yeah, I'm sure
Kershaw
it
is my NL Cy Young. Harvey's not in the top 5.
Who else?
I don't like. That's the thing is the rest of them are pretty bad. Like Hamels
I don't
is
mind.
Start.
Well, Kazmir is interesting. I don't know that I trust him, but Kazmir at Seattle.
Yeah,
but or home against Seattle. He hasn't been great.
Yeah, that was it. It's Clayton, Harvey, or nobody.
Waka. No, you got to get the strikeouts and the you'll go Kershaw or Harvey.
Yeah.
Hamels at San Diego. Ben Revere let me down yesterday, but he's still $2,700, and I don't mind that at all. I guess the Angels aren't playing a night game today because Mike Trout is not in here.
No, I have Clayton Kershaw, Edwin Encarnacion, and a bunch of really cheap guys.
Give me a couple.
Yasmani Grandal, we talked about him earlier. Jonathan Scope, only 2,300. Trevor Plouffe.
There's
going
another good Orioles hitter.
What?
The Orioles lineup's no good.
It's
Trevor
Plouffe
against a lefty, Carlos Rodon, 2,500. And Andre Ethier and Brandon Moss are 4,600 tonight. Why not?
Okay.
Why not?
All right, good luck, everybody. Check out Chris's stuff on sportsline.com. We also have the optimal lineup that is computer-generated that can help you out. FanDuel.com/CBSPod. Enter our tournament for $2. Compete against us, and I will try to finish like 1/30th out of 150 tonight. Just making baby steps. Next week, I'll win the whole thing. Oh, the Vegan Pagan, one of our favorite followers and listeners. He's won the league. He's won FanDuel.com/CBSPod 2 days in a row.
Way to go.
Congratulations, my friend.
Good job, buddy.
All right, for Scott White and Chris Towers, I'm Adam Azer. We're back tomorrow with another.